Ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, America's most awarded golf facility. Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
Welcome into the Golf to Go Radio Hour, the first show of the 2023 year. Scott Marsh, along with Frank LaRosa here, and we are back doing what we did all last year, and hope to be doing this for a long time. Golfers are, they're a breed that enjoys the sameness. You know, their tee time might be at 8:45 every week. Well, we like being here every week and bringing you the local news about the golf situation here in town. And every once in a while, we might talk a little bit about the national scene. But in our minds, we figure that that all that kind of news you can find on ESPN or any of the Fox or, you know, any of the news organizations that you know, do that 24 hours a day. We're here to let you know what's going on locally, where to play, who to talk to, things like that. Scott, welcome in. Happy New Year. How you doing today?
Doing great, Frank. Happy New Year to you, too.
You know, it's hard to believe that that it's 2023. I don't know where it came from, but here we are, and so we just again just keep putting one foot in front of the other, I guess.
I just know as every year extends, it just makes me look back to how far back my birthday is, and it makes me just feel really old.
I don't know, Scott. You know, I look at you and I think, boy, what if? You know, I want to start over again, but that's okay. Hey, we have another great show for our listeners. Tom Morton, Director of Player Development from Hagen Oaks, is in, and he's gonna talk about New Year's resolutions. Do you have a New Year's resolution?
You know, I did not set a New Year's resolution this year. Normally I do, but certainly in talking to Tom, it's gonna make me think about golf resolutions, because I know he's gonna focus in on this is the time to really improve your game, even though it's tough weather at times. There's lots of things you can do to really improve that game. And I think if any resolution I have, it's more on the fitness level. And I'm finding more and more that the correlation between being able to play good golf and really being in good fitness and in good shape makes a big difference.
Absolutely. And, you know, certainly these the senior players that are over 50, you know, their bodies look a whole lot different than the days of Fuzzy Zeller and folks like that. So, you know, flexibility, ability to make a huge turn, ability to stay fit, you know, and stay in good health as they play those rounds of golf and continue to practice every day. That it puts a strain on certainly parts of the body, back, hips, legs. There's a lot going on. So I think that's a good resolution for fitness.
How about you, Frank?
You know, Scott, I think what I'd like to do is find ways for the Golf to Go radio show to get out to facilities, to be able to do more shows where people can come up and say hi. We can talk to them. We can see who our listeners are, see what they think about the show, what they'd like to see more of. And so in my mind, a resolution that we find ways to do that throughout the coming year, I think will be a lot more fun. And I think it'd be advantageous for the show as well.
I like that one. That's a good one. We're gonna have to follow up on that one.
Well, we you know, coming up here in the middle of January, we've got kind of an exciting one, because I'm headed down to Ping headquarters in Phoenix to not only get fitted down there by their fitters, but to also talk about what it takes from concept to design, to marketing, to manufacture, to shipping, and how these golf clubs get from, boy, this is an idea, to, you know, find it on your local store shelf.
That's going to be awesome. If you find any left-handed clubs, don't hesitate to bring them back to Sacramento with you.
I'm going to have an oversized bag for you this time. also on the show today, Richard Davison. He's president of the Northern California Golf Reps Association and the current 2022 NCPGA Sales Rep of the Year. Richard is from Ireland, born in Northern Ireland, and he's got a bit of a brogue. Richard was a great player and maybe thought about playing on tour for a while and recognized the difference between a tour player and a really, really, really good amateur. And so he got into the golf rep business and has forged a very successful career. And we're going to talk about not only his career, but what he thinks about the best places to play in Ireland.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about that. I just can't wait to hear his voice.
And a good friend of ours, Ian Glass, is the new head professional at Sierra Pines and Timber Creek Golf Courses. Ian takes over from his long friend, Derek Zachman, who has gone on to work in the family business. And Ian has been at the facility coming up almost on 15 years, I guess. So he's certainly entrenched there. Everybody knows him. Everybody is really excited that he's going to take over from Derek and forge his own path. And I'm looking forward to talking to Ian as well.
That'll be great. For people who haven't played Timber Creek or Sierra Pines, a nine-hole course, it really is a country club feel. And they even have a membership opportunity for the public. It's a great course. I encourage everybody to get out there. And the one thing I love about that course, Frank, is that I can tell my friends who haven't been out there when they ask, like, what tees I played from, I always say I play from the tips out there. And when they hear the score, they're like, no way. Of course, they don't realize the tips out there are 6,400 yards. I don't leave that part in my description of everything, but it's just a great course to play. It's one of my favorite courses.
You know, what I find fascinating is when you think about it, you know, Timber Creek certainly is an 18-hole golf course designed by Billy Casper. And Sierra Pines, I'm not sure who the designer was, whether that was Casper or not, but is another nine-hole course. And each of those nines are totally different. You can play, you know, any of them, and it's like you're playing a brand new golf course because none of them look like the other one.
No doubt. The first nine at Timber Creek, make sure you bring your ball finder for the water, and then the back nine's all in the woods. So, but it's just a great course.
You know, this show goes on, I guess, maybe in our third year now as we continue. You know, the first year was probably not a full year, but I know you and I are excited about continuing this show. And we have some good plans for the coming year. And it's always fun to kick off a brand new year and a brand new show. And so we will talk to some of our guests today about their New Year's resolutions as well.
Look forward to it. And we can't start the year on a better note than with Tom Morton.
This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. He's Scott Marsh. I'm Frank LaRosa. We will be back with more right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Scott, as I mentioned, this is the first Golf to Go show of 2023. And our first guest this year on the first show of the year is, a regular, a very popular guest. One that we hear from listeners about. Tom Morton is Director of Player Development at the Hagen Oaks Golf Complex. Tom, I guess the first thing to say is Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year.
You know, the talk of New Year always sort of brings the topic of resolutions to mind. I'm not even sure that resolutions are you know, maybe as popular or as important as they have been in past years, but certainly the new year brings the discussion. And, you know, it can be everything from I want to lose weight, or I want to gain weight, or I want to learn to play the guitar, or, you know, plan a trip, or whatever it turns out to be. But certainly with golfers, you know, I think we're making resolutions all year long. You know, I'm going to practice more. Or I'm going to go get fitted. I'm going to buy a new hat. I mean, whatever it is, it can be simple. It can be large. But the notion of making golf resolutions, I think, probably makes sense in terms of, I haven't met a golfer yet that doesn't want to be better. You know, whether they're a 36 handicap or a, you know, a plus six, everybody wants to be just a little bit better. And so I think probably the notion of forming a resolution maybe can get us to that. What do you think, Tom?
Yeah, 100%. You know, kind of the new year brings this new hope, so to speak. And if we didn't get there last year, then here we are, kind of a fresh start moving into 2023. And, you know, for golf, like everything else, I think it's a good idea to put out there, you know, what is that big goal that you want to have? And, you know, whether that's breaking 100, 90, 80, or getting down to a, you know, moving your index down 2, 3, 5 points, you know, whatever it might be, that's a good place to start. But I think the issue that happens is the golfers then don't step back for a second and look at how they're going to get there. And so I think that's really important for the golfer to step back and assess their game, and whether that's with their, you know, coach that they have, or whether it's looking at the trends from 2022 and their rounds of golf to assess how they're going to do that, and then lay out a plan of, you know, how much am I able to practice a week? What should I be working on, and sort of break it up into the little bits and pieces to get to your ultimate goal.
You know, you could interpret what you were saying as maybe smaller goals might be better than a larger goal. On the other hand, you know, it depends on the person. Some of us are real goal oriented, and some of us lose interest after a week or two. So as you say, I think finding it, whether it's working with a coach or working with, you know, even a friend, you know, depending on what it is you actually want to do. I mean, it could be let's make sure we go out and visit Scottsdale this year. Let's go somewhere out of town and have a golf trip. I mean, that can be a resolution that's easily attained. But as you say, you know, to maybe drop your handicap a couple, 3 points. Well, you know, now we've got some work involved.
Yeah, you know, but even on those trips, right, you got to put it on the calendar. You got to follow through with booking and actually taking the time and all those things. And, you know, the same holds true with golf. And sometimes it can be a little overwhelming for sure as you get into it and think, well, I'm not sure I can accomplish that. And, you know, you really can as you break it up into just the parts of the game, whether it's someone says, you know what, I'm going to be a better putter this year. Most golfers can honestly shave off 3 to 12 strokes around just by being a better putter. So, you know, you can really do these little bits and pieces, and it doesn't have to be a 7 day a week, you know, 20 hour a week thing to get better. It can be in small snippets of time, stuff you can do at home, and, you know, just a little focus, I think, can get people there.
I think it's a really, really important point that you just mentioned, practicing putting. Most of us, and you know, I just speak in generalities of golfing friends of mine, everybody wants to hit the ball farther. And most of us are not going to attain that. Certainly, as the equipment gets better and the ball might get longer, we might hit a little longer. But if we don't have the length now, we're probably not going to get it. But to be able to shave strokes on the putting green or around the putting green is a much more attainable goal, and one that's, as you say, going to affect the score pretty radically.
100%. I mean, the amount of strokes that the average golfer sort of loses from even say 50 to 60 yards away from the green is pretty astronomical. And, you know, even just getting focused on that and make that your goal to be better within 50, 60 yards, because you can really see, you know, what you're doing within those distances. You know, are you getting it? If the golfer from 50, 60 yards can get on the green 70, 80% of the time, the amount of strokes you're going to save is crazy.
You know, when we think of golf lessons, we certainly think of standing on the tee and hitting irons to give a coach an idea of what we do, and then to hit the driver and so on and so forth. But it is possible to actually walk up to a teacher and say, I want to improve my putting. Let's stay away from the tee and just go to the putting green. What would that entail?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you would start with that as the goal. I think maybe looking back to your rounds of golf, if you can. I know in the past we've talked about the golfers tracking their statistics. And if you break it up into just putting, now you're really isolating something, and it's super easy to look at, you know, what our putting stats are. And it's not just as simple as, oh, I average, you know, 2.2 putts a hole. That you need to break it apart into bigger things, like, you know, into distances. If you're, you know, 20, 30, 40 feet away, are we not getting it close to the hole and then causing 3 putts, or we'll be chipping it poorly and then we chip it to 10 to 12 feet a lot instead of 2 to 4 feet a lot, and that changes how our putts look. So it's kind of really looking at it in that lens so that we can really understand where we need to go on the putting green to improve the score.
Scott, as you listen to this and I know your mind's racing about your own game. Do you have any resolutions for 2023?
Oh, I have a few resolutions. First of all, Tom, again, happy New Year's to you. Lots of things I'm thinking about here. Of course, first of all, we usually save our best for last of the year. And Frankie brought out the Top Gun right at the beginning of the year with Tom here. So, I think my New Year's resolutions when it comes to golf is I always am just trying to shave down my handicap. I'm about a 12 now. I want to be a single digit handicap golfer. That is my obsession in life, Tom. So maybe you could just direct me. How do you get from being like a 12 to like an 8 or 9? It seems small to me, but it's not, as we all know, of course.
Yeah, I mean, the lower your index gets, the harder it is to find strokes, and that's just a fact. If you're a 30 handicap, to be honest, it's pretty easy to go find 10 strokes. But if you're where you are now, you're looking at little mini things, and can I find a half a stroke here and a half a stroke to get you down in the single digits? And again, you have to look at all parts of your game, and from how are we off the tee to how are we in the approach shots. And approach shots are from that inside 50, inside 100, 150 in, and really breaking it apart in these different things and finding out where you're losing the most strokes. And then I would begin to focus on those one or two areas that are causing the loss of strokes. And I, to be honest, that should be pretty, I think still as a 12, you could find three strokes pretty easily.
That's what I've always felt too, Tom, but it's been pretty elusive. So, but hopefully in 2023. How about for you, Tom? What are some of your resolutions? I'm just curious if you set them yourself.
Yeah, for me, over the last couple of years, I haven't played much golf. And so for me, I think it would be to play a little bit more. And as I'm kind of a couple years away from being 50, I get to then jump into the senior events and stuff for our section, which I'm really looking forward to moving up a tee and also playing a little bit more and competing again like I did, 5 to 10 years ago quite a lot. And so I think my resolution really in the next year or two is to, start getting in better shape, playing a little more golf, and start, working on my game to prepare for that.
The problem is, of course, that means you're going to have to go against Mike Woods, and we know what competition that is.
Yeah, but I'll be the young 50-year-old, and he'll be more of the older in the 50s, so.
Tom, as a certainly nationally recognized instructor and leader in the player development area, Scott and I are talking about resolutions about making our games better from the student point of view. Do you have any thoughts or resolutions as you finish a year? Do you think, maybe you're really on the cusp of new the new theory, new technology, and so on and so forth? What from that point of view, what's the difference in your resolution as the instructor, as opposed to ours as a student?
Yeah, I think it's a good point you're making. And, I care much more about my students' games than my own golf game. And so I think for me, it's about, continuous learning. And it's about, I think we as a company are really diving into some really neat things in regard to player development, especially in the youth golf space. I think this year we really will have something for every young person, whether you're just jumping into the game, whether you're 3, 4 years old, or whether you're a high school golfer that's really trending up and competing and perhaps could play college golf, we have a program for you. And I think that's been a real big focus to make sure that we have the right people that can do that for the students, but also help guide the families along, because I think there's so much misinformation about what is the right thing to do in sport for kids, but especially in golf too. So I think our resolution is to educate as many parents as we can and make sure we are here to help them along that pathway and journey.
I think that suggests, when we go back to the beginning of this, whether you're going to take a big goal as a resolution or kind of bite it off in chunks, when you're working with someone who is actually watching your game and seeing the kind of game you play and maybe your pluses and minuses in your game, it's probably easier to make those goals, to make those resolutions, and find a way to actually achieve them.
Correct. And, as I think we've talked about here too, it's kind of there's this cycle that goes on throughout the year. And, now is a great time to really be laying out what those goals and things are so that we can get to work. And wintertime is the best time to get to work on those. Is, you know, oftentimes people hibernate this time of year for golf and then come out in spring. And by the time their game is starting to shape up, and, you know, it's really, you know, and Scott, your case, if you were a golfer that was doing that, by the time your game is getting in a place where you could be shooting scores to lower that index, then they go back into hibernation. So it kind of, it's hard to do it if that's the cycle you're in.
So basically, I can't be Yogi the Bear any longer if I want to get a single index.
Now, you know, wintertime, although, you know, it's you might play less on the golf course, but it is a great time to really work on those things to be better so that when the weather changes, we're in a great place to get going.
You know, the last time you were on, Tom, you talked about some of those things, and we're getting short on time here, but just quickly run through a couple of three things that people can do this time of year to help when we get to spring training.
Yeah. So, you know, in regard to putting too, there's, you know, whether it's a carpet indoors or whatnot, there's multiple training aids that are great to kind of work on the fundamentals of the stroke or, and, you know, that sort of thing, which is wonderful. I know a lot of people put up a little net in their garage and, you know, make swings and really just, you know, working with someone to find out what are the one or two key things you should be doing in your technique. You can be at home really mirroring those things and working on them, the practice swings and, you know, tempo of your golf swing and, you know, getting, you know, better with balance or, you know, just little things that you can do on a daily basis, even for 5 to 15 minutes a day, will make a big, big difference.
Tom Morton, Director of Player Development at the Hagen Oaks Golf Complex. Tom, you always have good things to say. You get us thinking about things. I think basically out of this, we should come away with the fact that resolutions are probably good for golfers. Let's make sure that that we find a resolution that we can obtain, whether it's difficult or easy. Just stay with it along the line and find out we're better on the other end. Thanks much for being with us. For Scott Marsh, I'm Frank LaRosa. Happy New Year to all. And
it's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Golf to Go Radio Hour continues here on Sactown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa along with Scott Marsh. And a friend of mine is the current 2022 NCPGA Sales Representative of the Year, Mr. Richard Davison. He's also president of the NorCal Golf Reps Association. Richard, Happy New Year. How are you today?
Good, Frank. Happy New Year to you. Thanks. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Hey, you know, we had Tom Morton on a little earlier in the show, and we talked about New Year's resolutions. Do you have one?
You know, I didn't make one because the chances of me making it through one day without breaking it were pretty slim.
Yeah, we discussed that a little bit as well.
I should probably say play more golf. Let's go with that.
Richard, as you can hear, has a bit of the Irish brogue, and Richard was born in Northern Ireland and has made his home here in the Bay Area. And Richard, as president of the or NorCal Golf Reps Association, what does that mean? What's that group, and what's your role in it?
So it's I became the president probably, I'm going to say, 3 years ago now. I like to joke that I was late to a meeting, and so and that happened to be the day that that they needed someone. You know, I was always involved in the Rep Association as a board member, and we'd had some turnover, some guys that had been with the organization for quite a while. I think they were getting ready to kind of hang it up, and we wanted some new blood in there. So I took on president. Little did I know, it was before COVID. Little did I know what was going to happen. It was really going to go throw a monkey wrench and everything and change things. Emmy Moore Minister told me, oh, this is, you'll be fine. All you got to do is go through a couple of meetings a season and you'll be good. Well, let me tell you, it has not been like that. It's been trying to decide whether to have a show during COVID, where to have it. And then now, the last almost year, choosing a new spot for our rep show, in February.
Yeah. For the past, I don't know, must be 30 years or so, the Reps Association has put on, you know, sort of a Northern California West Coast version, small version of the PGA show, the merchandise show in Orlando, allowing golf professionals around the section to come in and look at what the reps have to offer. So, you know, for especially for those that can't travel to Orlando, it really works out well, not only for the golf professionals, but certainly for the reps as well, being able to show your products.
Yeah, it's a great way to, you know, it's a great way for us to meet with a lot of people in a 2-day period. It's a great way for the pros to come in, see a lot of reps in a 2-day period, where instead of, you know, seeing us over the span of, let's say, 6 weeks, they get to see us in 2 days. So we like to think of it as a bonus for them to be able to, you know, we're not taking a lot of their time. I always joke again with guys. I'm like, look, you don't want to hear from me most of the year. So if you meet with me at the show, then we're done, you know, and I won't bug you anymore.
You have been a rep for a number of years now, and certainly have perfected that craft to be the rep of the year. But originally you saw yourself as a pretty good golfer. Well, you are, and maybe had sights on playing professionally for a while.
I did. So I was lucky enough to be recruited to play golf for UC Davis. I was recruited by a very famous, not golf coach, but football coach, Jim Soaker, who was a legend over there at Davis. And I was his first recruit. And I'll never forget, we had qualifying for our first event, and it was at Yolo Flyers Club. It was in August. I was only in the States at that point. I was only in the States about 6 years. Still wasn't really that acclimatized to the heat. And, you know, Yolo Flyers in August can get really steamy. So the deal was, we were playing a morning round. And then if you played well, the next day you got to play in the morning. If you didn't play so well, you played in the afternoon. So I was like, I got to play in the morning again. So I went out, and I remember I shot 35 on the front. And I'm like, okay, we're cruising. And then I shot 45 on the back, shot 80, and was into the afternoon grouping the next day. And this was qualifying for our first tournament. I remember I was really annoyed at myself. And then the next day I birdied the last four to shoot 69 and make the team by one.
When you mentioned UC Davis and Jim Soaker, and I saw Scott's eyes kind of brighten up there at that point. I wonder if you guys were there at the same time.
I was there in the early 90s, so you were probably there same time, because Coach Soaker had just stopped with football and started golf around that time.
Yeah, I was there. I started in 90, end of 93, or fall of 93 was when I came in.
Yeah, what a man Jim Soaker was.
I can see. I mean, I remember him coming to visit me here in Sonoma and sitting at my dinner table with my mom and having dinner with us and talking about Davis. And he was, I'll give him all the credit in the world. He was the first school to reach out to me. And again, having not really been in the States that long and not really understanding the college kind of thing that much, he really opened my eyes. I remember when he took me on a tour of the campus, and immediately I was like, okay, I'm not going anywhere else.
Yeah, now there's a statue of him on the campus right next to the football stadium.
Yeah, so I'm not surprised.
He's had an amazing impact on so many people. Yeah.
No statue of me, though. It's just him.
You might be next.
Richard, you rep for a number of companies. Why don't you go through a little bit of the list and tell us a little bit about your territory? Because I see all these photos on Facebook of your lack of leg room on flights here and there.
Yeah, I happen to rep quite a few brands. So I have Galvin Green, which has kind of been my baby, for lack of a better term. I took that brand over as the first rep in the United States to have it. So I started really at zero and have built it up now to where my territory, I think, and I'll find this out at the show in Orlando when we have our meeting, I think is the largest territory and our largest as far as revenue goes in the country. So I've really grown that up from zero to there. I have EP New York, which is a really good women's brand. That's been fantastic. Do a lot of team play with that. I have Turtleson, which is a really nice men's brand. I have New Era Hats, which is obviously we're the leader in just hats generally. I mean, people say hats and they think New Era. So that's been a fantastic brand to have as well. And then I have Jones Golf Bags, which was the one that I started at. That was what I started my business with selling it on nights and weekends, and then branching off into my other to eventually get in Galvin and so forth. And then I have Royal Albatross shoes, which has been a really nice pickup for me, really fine leather. So my brands all tend to be a little bit more on the higher end. I think that's just a place that I've kind of put myself. I love having brands that I wear myself. If I don't wear it myself, the chances are I'm not going to rep it. It's something that I want to. I have a few customers that get a kick out of me because I tend to get really excited about stuff. Yeah, so when I'm in the van, I'm like, you got to see this. And they're like, I mean, but it is, it's because I wear it myself. I'm the only rep, I think, that doesn't get to wear sample size. So I always have to wait to the product actually comes out to be able to wear it. Everyone else, I see them and like, oh, you got that on already. But being 6'5 and, well, over 250 pounds, we'll just leave it at that. I don't fit into sample size. So,
you know, you talk about, you got to see this. The other thing I know about you is if you've got a product that you don't think works for a rep, you are for a golf course or a pro, you're not going to push it on them. What's your secret for being such a great rep?
You know, I was on the other side of things before I jumped on this side. So I was, I started as a cart kid at Sonoma Golf Club and then worked in the shop and then would help with the buying a little bit. So, and I was always, it's always just been, look, I want to treat the pros the way I would have been wanted to be treated back then. You know, there was a lot of really good reps that I saw. Pete Santor is one that, you know, I've known Pete since I've moved to the US, since I was in high school. He used to get me on my Hogan equipment, and Pete was always that way. And it's just, yeah, I want to be able to, I want guys to trust me, and just, you know, nothing makes me happier than when I'm actually friends with these guys outside of work. And I've become really good friends with a lot of them, and it's because, yeah, I want to treat them the way I would want to be treated if I was on the other side. So if they email me or text me or whatever it is, I try to get back to them right away, or I answer the phone. It's amazing how many times I get that. Oh, you answered the phone. I said, well, yeah, that's what I'm here for. I'm not Freddie Couples. Remember, he used to say he didn't answer the phone because there might be somebody on the other end. But I have to answer the phone.
You know, Northern California certainly is well known for having an incredible array and of really high quality golf courses. I know Scott wants to know, how do we compare to Irish golf courses?
They're different. They're different here in that, and it's not one thing's better than the other. I mean, but I will say Northern Ireland, you can play any golf course, right? You really can. You can go to Royal County Down. It's going to cost you a lot of money. But you can go play it, right? The same can't be said for, let's say, you know, if you want to go play Olympic or SF or something like that, right? You have to jump through some hoops to get on there. But in Northern Ireland, there's not a golf course that I can think of that you can't go and play. Golf is much quicker over there. You got to play really fast or you just get left behind. I, in fact, played with a few guys from home last week, and I play quick. These guys put me to shame. I mean, I wasn't even done, you know, admiring my shot heading into the bunker, and the other guy had already hit. So they fly around. So those would be my two main things: is you can play just about anywhere. There's no kind of hang up, and you can play really quick. The last thing I'll say. Junior golf, I mean, you could become a junior member at a club over there for the equivalent of maybe $500 a year. And I think that's really, really cool, right? You could be a junior member at Royal County Down and, you know, play and go out. I think, you know, these golf clubs over there have been in the hands of the members or whoever it may be for such a long time that they don't owe anything on property or anything like that. So it's a little bit different. They can afford to do that kind of thing. Whereas here, you know, it's definitely a little bit different, but those would be my three takeaways.
You know, we've been talking a lot about New Year's resolutions. Mm-hmm. And for some, maybe it's that golf trip. For somebody who's would be making a trip over there, what suggestion or what thoughts would you have if you were planning a trip for somebody going over there for the first time?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you another thing that I always tell people. When people ask me, when's the best time to go? I usually say at night. Because it doesn't, you don't have to worry about the weather dominates everything. Even to this day, my brother still lives there. And I'll call him, and generally within the first couple of, 30 seconds, 45 seconds, our conversation reverts to the weather. So I have always found that May is a really good time to go. May, usually the weather's pretty good. The days are getting longer. That's the really fun thing is if you go in the middle of the summer, I mean, you can tee off at 7 o'clock at night and play 18 holes without any trouble at all. But I would say pick, don't go in the fringe seasons. It's going to cost you more in the summer season, but it's going to be worth it because you go in the fringe seasons, you're pretty much guaranteed to get some really ugly weather and it'll be dark a lot. Those summer months are really, really nice. Reach out ahead of time. The majority of these pros will welcome you with open arms if you just reach out ahead of time and say, hey, I'm going to be in this area. I would love the chance to play your golf course. And also look at some of the courses that aren't on the kind of rota, let's say. You've got your Royal Portrush, you've got your Royal County Down, but you've got Ardglass, which is a fantastic golf course. You've got Royal Belfast, which gets no fanfare at all and is one of my favorites. Look outside that as well and pack your Galvin Green because you will need it.
Damn the time, damn the clock. We always have more questions than we have time. Richard, you're a delight. Wanted to talk to you about the rally car club that you're in. And I know once we get started, somebody's going to ring a bell and say, your show is lasting too long. So I guess the answer to that is we just have to have you back.
Happy to come back anytime. I tend to, the Irish are known for being able to be able to talk, Frank. So that's one thing I prided myself in. That's why I got into sales.
Well, and with the accent, everything you say sounds smart. So
that's debatable.
Richard Davison, president of the NorCal Golf Reps Association and the 2022 NCPGA Sales Rep of the Year. Thanks for being with us. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. Back with more right after.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
This first show of the year, the Golf to Go Radio Hour, continues here on Sactown Sports 1140. Hi, I'm Frank LaRosa, along with Scott Marsh, and Ian Glass is with us. Ian is the head golf professional, the relatively new head golf professional at Timber Creek and Sierra Pines Golf Courses. I say new, although anybody that's plays out there has known Ian for many years because he's been there, 12, 14 years, something like that. Hello, Ian. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. You have been at the facility for a long time.
Yeah, I have. Last June was marked 15 years. So kind of crazy when you get into it and get over here, you kind of think out of it as little part-time gig when you're a little bit younger. Hey, let's get some free golf going. Let's get in the business, see what it's all about. And then time flies and 15 years later, here I am.
Before we get too far along, let's just make sure everybody knows that you and Derek Zachman, the previous head pro, have been friends for years. And Derek has gone on to work in a family business. And your relationship is so strong with him that it was probably the perfect choice for the facility to choose you to take over the job. But you guys will remain friends and continue to play golf.
Yeah, absolutely. Derek and I have known each other from growing up playing golf in the foothills. We're both Auburnites, so playing in Auburn Valley back in the day in high school and junior golf at the Ridge up in Auburn, and continue to play now. Us and our buddies go out usually on a Saturday game, and probably more enjoyable now after working 5 days a week with each other. See each other on Saturdays might be a little bit more enjoyable, more fun than just your everyday golf.
I mentioned when I introduced you that you were the head pro for Timber Creek, which most people are very familiar with, but also Sierra Pines, which is a really fabulous 9-hole golf course, which is down the street just a little bit, but that's all part of the 27 holes that the facility has. Why don't you, for the uninitiated, kind of go through the little description of what Timber Creek is and what Sierra Pines is?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Sierra Pines. We love it out here. 9-hole championship golf course. So it's full regulation, 2 par 5s, 2 par 3s. It's a little bit wider, a little more forgiving than Timber Creek. We offer it to our more beginning golfers, The older golfers, you can only get nine in, but it's really enjoyable for everybody. Higher skill levels as well. Has the two longest par threes on the property out there. Also has executive tees. So all 27 holes out here do have executive tees. If you're looking to get in the game and you feel intimidated at the full regulation size golf courses, or just trying to get step into the game and get a good feel for it, the executive tees are a great option as well. But it's perfectly maintained the same as Timber Creek. The same crew goes out there. We have a little pro shop, little deli up there, great deli to have lunch, putting green up there as well. So it's a perfect complement to Timber Creek. And Timber Creek is a real fun course as well. You know, 18 holes out here, two separate really filling nines. The front nine is the lakes nine, has eight lakes, a little bit more houses in the back nine, but very challenging. I wouldn't say Timber Creek is the longest golf course in the world. We're looking at about 6,500 yards from the tips, but it will challenge you. We have a lot of people coming through after nine holes, grabbing an extra sleeve of golf balls after the front, after donating a few. So the back nine is awesome. It's one of my favorite nines out here, throughout the old oak trees, less housing, really, really well-maintained. Steve Kimbrough, our head golf superintendent, Kyle, his assistant, they do an awesome job, especially this winter. As everybody knows, it's been challenging this last 3 weeks to a month, and it's not just the rain, it's the frost that has come up. It seems like this year, if it's not raining and storming, it immediately turns into a nice sunny weather, which is great, but it also introduces frost to the golf course in the morning. So it's a delicate balance, trying to maintain the golf course, make it playable, but also protect the golf course in these kinds of weather as well.
You know, this really has been a strange year for golf courses in terms of the weather. More frost than I remember in many years past. And, you know, to have that to deal with during the good weather days, as you say, and then all this rain. The one thing about Timber Creek is it drains really well. And you guys seem to get carts back on the course quicker than most. But I'm guessing right now you're probably cart path only right now.
Yeah, we are definitely today, unfortunately. But yeah, with all the water features that we do have on the golf course, we have those where it drains out into those water features. So we're lucky to have those areas where there's a lot of water runoff is designed that way. So yeah, we're real lucky that 25 years ago when they did put in the golf course, they thought about that. And they thought about different types of weather and different times of the year of how this course will be playable all year round.
You talk about 25 years ago, Billy Casper was there to open the golf course. And I hadn't been, maybe 10 years or so, I'd been writing about golf. And so that was the first time I had the opportunity to meet him. But what a great thrill it was. And to know that that someone like Billy Casper had come to our town to design a golf course. He was very proud of the facility, and he was a lot of fun to be around.
Yeah. I hear great stories. I wasn't here when he came first, but, you know, a lot of stories. And the residents here, there's residents here that have been here a long time for that 25 years that have told me stories about him and what he brought to the golf course and what he introduced. And people really hold it special that he was the one that came out and designed the course. It is a prominent name in the area, and the residents really hold that proudly.
Anybody listening to this interview can really pick up on the fact that you've got a lot of energy and you've got a lot of things ahead of you. You've got a big project coming up with your practice facility.
Yeah, definitely. Something we're really excited about out here is starting on March 1st, we're going to do a full practice facility remodel. So if you've been out to the golf course before and you've practiced out here, putting in the putting green, it's fun, but it's also challenging. It's very sloped, to say the least. And there's four or five hole locations where you're out there and they're almost impossible to putt at. So having a large putting green, we want to make it useful, not just fun and entertaining. So what we're going to do is we're going to double the square footage of the putting green itself. We're going to lower the top half, raise the bottom half. We're going to wrap that all the way around our very nice glass bar that we put in a few years ago. In our patio. So it's going to be 10,000 square feet of brand new putting surface. We're going to start that with seed of sod. So it's going to take a little bit longer to come to full strength. But when we relaunch, we want to have some nice lights out there, some more energy, some music going. So we want something, a place where people can come out and hang out. hang out the bar, hang out the restaurant, and something fun and real putting on real grass, and just get some good energy. And as well with that, we're going to do the chipping area. We're going to completely tear down the chipping area that we have out there. It's a nice area out there because there is about 95 to 100 yards of area. You can practice your longer shots compared to some other courses or practice areas where you're really limited to these shorter shots. Our practice area is a little bit bigger. We're going to completely tear down the putting green or the chipping green, reconfigure that, reconfigure the bunkering, get that green up as well, because that does have some pretty good slope to it as well. Get that all brand new. The driving range itself, we are going to make it one tier. Right now it's three tiers, kind of stadium aspect to it, a lot of unused space. We are going to make that into one long full grass tier. I'm really excited about getting people back on the range, hitting off of real grass. You know, that's something that's few and far between. We get a lot of phone calls asking if we're hitting off the grass, what other courses in the area are. And it's nothing, there's no better feeling than practicing off a real grass driving range. And we look forward to having that year round instead of just very few and far between special events.
I like to get to a golf course about an hour before my tee time and warm up a bit, but I always find that I'm late on Scott Marsh's calendar. So I'm guessing all of this new facility is going to excite you, huh, Scott?
Oh, especially when we play Timber Creek, I get there at least 2 or 3 hours early because you already have one of the best practice facilities in town. So I can't even imagine what it's going to be like after you're done. That's going to be incredible.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. And I think it's obviously while it's happening, there's going to be some visual eyesores to the practice area, but it's not going to affect the golf course at all. The golf course itself is going to be in great shape. Nothing's going to be touched on the golf course. So while we are going to have some lack of practice facilities for a short while, I think it's just a really exciting project that the residents have put forward. We look forward to reintroducing to not only our residents, our membership to the but to the public itself as well.
You know, Ian, with this being the first show of the year, we've asked our other two guests if they have any New Year's resolutions. So we'll throw that question at you as well.
I need to practice some more. You know, you'd think being at the golf course all day, you'd hang out more and practice. I've gotten away from that. The good thing I've done is kept a putter in my hand. I like to go out and putt in the putting green, get the feel of the putter. But you know, over the years and time being out here, I've kind of lost the practice ways and hitting balls. And it's always nice to get a golf club in your hand, just to keep that memory going and keep the feeling going, so you don't get as lost out there on the golf course when you're out there. So I look forward to playing some more golf, but mostly practicing so I can play a little bit better when I do get back on the golf course itself.
You know, our listeners don't understand it, but we say this over and over again. If you want to play golf, probably you shouldn't get in the golf business. Go be a bartender and have your days free.
Yes, exactly.
How do we make a tee time, Ian?
Yeah, there's multiple ways you can make a tee time. You can go to our website, which is www.timbercreekgc.com. You'll go right on there. It links you to both golf courses, Timber Creek and Sierra Pines. Feel free to give us a call as well over the phone. Timber Creek is 916-774-3851. Sierra Pines is 916-774-7234. We'd be happy to talk to you, go over what your options are at both golf courses, and get you going, and so you can experience the golf course. It's in great shape. Like I said, practice facilities will be having a remodel. Golf course is going to continue to be in great shape for the rest of the year.
We want to send our congratulations to you, Ian, and certainly to the whole facility for having the wit to hire you as the head golf professional. We expect continued growth and continued success out there in Roseville, and we look forward to coming out to see you. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. And once again, Scott, it wraps up another week. And, you know, how many times have I said, can we make this a 90-minute show? Give Ian a little more time and give us a little more time. But this is the new year. Maybe that'll be our resolution going forward.
Different year, need more time still, though.
I love it. Ian, congratulations. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you guys so much. Really appreciate it.
Golf to Go Radio Hour back next week. Thanks for being with us. Keep it in the fairway. It's a game. Play it. Have some fun.